and welcome to HCM Cloud Talk Radio. You'll get the latest in HCM Cloud best practices and information which are important for your Oracle HCM Cloud service. I'm Frank Cow, Director, HCM Cloud Development, and a member of the Center of Excellence team here at Oracle. And joining us back on the show today is Ann Warm, Principal Product Advisor, EMEA HCM Development at Oracle. Ann joined Oracle over 6 years ago, and she's a member of the EMEA HCM Center of Excellence team and an HCM Cloud expert specializing in payroll. Ann has over 31 years of experience, primarily in HR and payroll implementations, and has worked in various roles. She's been a developer, a systems, functional, and business analyst, and a project manager. She also has an e-business suite background. Ann is currently responsible for managing the UK tax year-end program and provides advice and guidance to Oracle's cloud payroll customers and partners. Thank you for joining us today, Ann. It's great to have you back on HCM Cloud Talk Radio.
Hi, Frank. It only seems like yesterday since we were talking about the 18-19 tax year. How time flies.
I will say yes to that because I just looked back and I was like, wow, that was that long ago? It's kind of a time is passing, yes. So our very timely and important topic of discussion today is the UK tax year end 2019-2020 preparation and processing. So, Anne, what can Oracle's customers look forward to in the 2019-2020 tax year?
Well, Frank, as per normal, we've got our changes to rates, thresholds, and statutory payments. The tax rates for Wales and Scotland are set independently to the rest of the UK. But for the rest of the UK, we know the rates for the new tax year haven't changed, but the earnings bands have. Now, the Welsh Government and the National Assembly for Wales, they became responsible for some of the taxes paid in Wales in April 2018, but they now have additional powers coming into effect in April 19. So from April 2019, the Welsh tax codes will be prefixed by a C. This is akin to the Scottish codes being prefixed by the S. And I'm assuming that as Wales in Welsh is Cymru, so I guess that's where the C comes from. So the Welsh tax rate will be based on the basic rate, higher rate, or additional rate in effect for the rest of the UK, but it will be reduced by 10% and then increased by the Welsh rate of tax. However, for the 2019-20 tax year, the Welsh Government has increased each band by 10%, so in effect the Welsh tax rates will be the same as the rest of the UK. The Scottish Government, they announced rates and bands on the 12th of December. And per the rest of the UK, the rates haven't changed, but the earnings bands have, and in particular, the upper limit for the Scottish intermediate rate of 21% has been reduced to £30,930. Now, it's important to note that these changes are still to be passed by the Scottish Parliament. Confirmation is generally not given until late February, but at the moment, we're not expecting any changes to what's already been announced. Keeping with Scotland, there are also new deduction tables for court order earnings arrestments. There's three sets of tables, daily, weekly and monthly, and the calculation will have four tiers. A nil deduction for the first earnings band. This is effectively handling the concept of protected earnings. The greater of a specified amount and 19% of earnings above a set limit for the second band. A fixed amount plus 23% of earnings above a set limit for the third earnings band. And a fixed amount plus 50% of earnings above a set limit for the final earnings band.
Wow, very interesting, Anne. So are there any other changes starting in April?
Yes, from April we are distinguishing between the student loans and the postgraduate loans. So the thresholds used in the calculation of Plan 1 and Plan 2 student loan deductions are increasing from the 6th of April 2019 to £18,935 and £25,725, respectively. But the actual calculation method remains unchanged. New deduction will be introduced from April for postgraduate loans. The threshold used in the calculation of the postgraduate loan deduction will be £21,000, and the deduction rate calculated on earnings above the threshold will be 6%. This is the same calculation method as student loans. Now, the postgraduate loans will operate in the same way as student loans, so consequently, just as we have a start notice and a stop notice for student loans and SL1 and SL2, we will have them for postgraduate loans, a PGL1 and a PGL2. So as you might expect, we'll also have PGL1 and PGL2 notifications from HMRC, and the new starter declaration will include questions relating to postgraduate student loans. Every year, we also have new versions of the full payment submission, the FPS, The employer payment summary, the EPS, and the earlier year update, the EYU. So this year they will include new fields for postgraduate loans and the Welsh tax codes.
Sounds like a lot of changes there, Anne. So I understand that there will be a requirement to display hours on pay slips as well, starting with the new tax year. Can you provide any insight on this new requirement?
Yeah, the Employment Rights Act 1996, the itemized pay statement, had amendment order in 2018, and this comes into force on the 6th of April 2019. So here we see employers will be required to include on pay slips the number of hours worked by the employee for which they are being paid, but only in situations where the employee's pay varies as a consequence of the time worked, so for example, overtime. The CEDA pay slip that we have shows hours where earnings are based on number of hours worked. And many customers have customized versions of this pay slip and are already showing hours worked for overtime payments, etc. The minimum requirement under new legislation is to show hours, not the rate. You can just show a single total of hours. Or you can break it down by a subgroup. So, for example, if somebody worked 50 hours, you could put 50 hours and then the pay on the pay slip, or you might choose to put 40 hours of time, say, and the pay, followed by 10 hours of time and a half, say, and then the pay. But it's important to note that customers are responsible for configuring their pay slip in line with the new legislation. There will be documentation and guidance, and it is available already in the release readiness material, and customers should also review reporting days and units in payroll reports explained. This can be found in Using Global Payroll, Chapter 6, the chapter is headed Calculate, Validate and Balance Payroll. And then if you look under View Reports, you'll see the section I've just mentioned.
Thanks for those details, Anne. And that all has to start in April as well, is that correct, that new requirement?
Correct, yeah. Yeah.
Great. Can you talk a bit about benefits in kind and P11Ds?
So customers may have some benefits that will be payrolled and the employee will be taxed each pay period, and other benefits that will be reported via P11D at the end of the tax year and will affect the following year's tax-free allowance. So we delivered P11D reporting and payrolling of benefits in kind last year. Some customers took it up last year. Some may decide to do so this year. Others may change what way they process their particular benefits in kind. So we strongly recommend that customers should review the documentation that we provided last year, and I'll just give you some references for that now. So there's a document on MOS 2393233.1 called Processing Benefits in Kind and P11D Reporting. And this outlines the tasks for setup and processing of benefits in kind through payroll and obviously the P11D reporting. We also ran Customer Connect sessions last year. There was one on the 15th of February entitled Cloud Payroll, UK Payrolling of Benefits P11D Data Capture. And we ran another one on the 26th of April entitled HCM, Cloud Payroll, UK Payroll Employee P11D Expense and Benefit Statements and Reporting. So these were sessions that we ran last year because we were introducing the new functionality into cloud, but they're still pertinent to this year. They're really good sessions. I'd definitely recommend people would to go and have a look at those, especially this is the first year that they're going to use Benefits in Kind. But basically in cloud, the customer has to indicate at organization level whether a benefit will be processed through payroll for all employees within a tax reporting unit or reported on the P11D. And then the customer needs to create the taxable benefits calculation card and set the value for each benefit. So getting back to what's changed. So for 2018-19, the P11D includes rates and value changes. I know I've said 18-19 because remember this year now, the year we're going into, we have to report from last year's, what happened last year. So that's why it's 18-19. So as I say, there will be rates and value changes, but these rates are already applicable when payrolling benefits in the current tax year. So we've already accounted for those as the benefits in kind when we've paid them through the payroll. There will also be changes going forward. There will be payrolling of benefits will include changes for car and car fuel benefits. All the details of this are in a Customer Connect session, which I'll give you references to in a moment. But note that employees can now view and access tax year end forms from their homepage for P60s and P11Ds produced for the tax year end 2019 and beyond.
Okay, thanks, Anne. Is there anything else that Oracle's Cloud Payroll customers should be aware of?
Not particularly from a legislative perspective, but in delivered enhancement to the processing, yes. We have delivered enhanced processes that provide increased efficiency and performance for large volumes of data. The start of year and the tax code uplift processes are amongst them. So customers should use the enhanced archive process as opposed to the old processes, and these will be removed in 19C.
Okay, and when will the required legislative updates be delivered to Oracle's UK Cloud Payroll customers?
All required software updates will be delivered in time for compliance with legislation. The majority of UK payroll legislative updates will be delivered as part of the 19A quarterly update. So payroll customers are on the February, May, August, November quarterly schedule. So test cadence pods received this on the 1st of February, and production cadence pods will receive it on Friday, the 15th of February. As we said earlier, the Scottish and Welsh tax rates are confirmed later than the rest of the UK rates, so they will be delivered separately by a weekly update in early March. Customers will be notified of the timing of that weekly update, which will be delivered in line with the new global policy for legislative updates. So I would strongly encourage customers and partners to review the Customer Connect session of the 6th of February, and the session entitled HCM Simplified Maintenance Schedule for HCM Cloud Payroll Customers Worldwide Policy Update.
So as you went through the list, it sounds like there's a lot of legislative updates coming in. So how can customers prepare for these changes?
Well, as per any quarterly update, read the release readiness material in advance of the actual update. Review your testing strategy. Review your environments. Consider scheduling a P2T. But the main thing is make sure you've got dedicated resources available. So we do have specific tax year end, start of year information available for customers to reference. We have Fusion UK Payroll Legislative Update 2019. Doc ID on MOZ is 248.3355.1. And this provides an overview of all the legislative changes. It can be found directly or via the Information Centre Fusion Human Capital Management, United Kingdom, Doc ID 209.0342.2, and then click on the Welcome tab. I just couldn't miss an opportunity to plug this UK information page. It's a very, very useful place, and it's somewhere where all our UK customers should be their first port of call for information. Further detailed information of the legislative changes is available on Customer Connect, and customers should review the session entitled HCM Cloud Payroll UK Payroll Legislative Updates. Our UK legislative analyst, Alison Ford, presented this on the 23rd of January, and she really does explain all the new legislation that's coming in some detail. As we mentioned before, customers should also review release readiness material and specifically the workforce rewards, what's new for 19A. So the main thing is they should ensure they're familiar with the tax year end start of year processes. Now, for some customers, this will be their first tax year end start of year on cloud, or maybe just they've done tax year end on their legacy system, they're now doing start of year on cloud. So they need to start testing and perform a dry running test as soon as possible so that they're familiar with the processing. Don't leave it until the last minute. I think the other thing we called out before as well is also recommend that customers consider any business changes with regard to payrolling of benefits or P11D. Make sure they are tested and they're in place in time for the new tax year.
With regard to the end of year, start of year processing you just mentioned, what are the processing steps and is there a document customers can reference?
Yes, there is a document. It's Fusion UK Payroll. Payroll end of year, start of year checklist. It's Doc ID 247.8909.1. And again, it's available from the UK information document, Doc ID 209.0342.2. So to summarise, as per all payroll periods, customers need to run a full payment submission, an FPS, and an employer payment summary, EPS, except the end of the tax year is indicated by a final submission parameter. Now, this FPS is required by the 5th of April. As for other pay periods, the FPS should have been reconciled with the year-to-date reconciliation report. If there are no corrections to follow up on and the customer hasn't submitted an EPS yet, then set the final submission parameter to yes. Customers still have until the 19th of April to submit an EPS and, if required, resend a corrected FPS. One of the submissions must have the final submission parameter set to yes, but it's not required on both. If the customer cannot send the final submission by the 19th of April, they're still maybe having problems reconciling or whatever, then they must send amendments via the earlier year update EYU. Now, unique to the tax year end is the production of P60s, and we've mentioned before, P11Ds. To run the P60 process, navigate to regulatory and tax reporting and submit a payroll flow. We recommend running the process in test mode first, especially if the customer is doing this from cloud for the first time or is using a different format from the previous year. The P60 should be reconciled against the year-to-date reconciliation report and the final FPS. Customers should ensure that their employees receive their P60s by the 31st of May and their P11Ds by the 6th of July. So you can see that the end of year process is spread over a number of months, but as you might expect, this isn't the case for the start of year process, which must be completed prior to the first payroll of the new tax year being run. The start of year process can be found by navigating to regulatory and tax reporting and submit a payroll flow. There are three processes, and again, we recommend you run this in test mode first. The first process is run start of year archive flow. As we said, there's been enhanced processes, and that's the first one, start of year archive flow. And this will ensure the tax basis for all employees is cumulative. It will clear all the year-to-date figures, the previous pay and the previous tax, and it will produce the start of year audit report. The second process is run the tax code uplift archive flow. So for this, you need to select the tax code prefix and specify the uplift. So, for example, AL codes are increasing by 65 this coming tax year. This process produces the tax code uplift audit report. And then we have to run HMRC data retrieval processes and load HMRC XML file process to load all P9s, which have been coming in from the HMRC with amendments to tax codes for specific employees. And the P9 value will override any existing value that's there. So you can choose to upload the P9s before the tax code uplift, but the P9 values won't be overwritten.
Thanks, Anne. Now, you've provided a lot of fantastic detailed information throughout the show today. Could you just briefly summarize the key takeaways of today's show for our listeners?
Certainly, Frank. So we need to run through the end of year and the start of year on test first. Practice the end-of-year reconciliation process in test if you haven't done this before. Allow enough time for that end-of-year reconciliation and resolving any issues when you run it in production. You should complete an analysis of benefits in kind in order to determine if you want to payroll or report on P11D. There's no option to swap from P11D to payrolling partway through a year, although you can do vice versa at employee level. The legislative updates are documented in the release readiness documentation, the Watch New, and are also detailed on Moz and via the Customer Connect session of the 23rd of January that we gave references for earlier. You should become familiar with all information as soon as possible and review your testing strategy. The key dates for completion can be found on gov.uk/payroll annual reporting, but we've already mentioned them earlier. So that is the FPS submission the 5th of April, the corrected FPS by the 19th of April, P60s out by the 31st of May, and P11Ds out by the 6th of July. The important message to get across here is that customers should not leave everything until the last minute. Begin that reconciliation of the final FPS as soon as possible, because you have to be ready for the start of year, and you have to meet government deadlines for annual reporting.
Okay, thanks for that summary, Anne. I really appreciate it. And thank you for a very informative show about the UK tax year and 2019-2020 preparation and processing. You've provided a lot of fantastic guidance and advice that I'm sure our listeners will appreciate. And I hope you know you're always welcome back to share more information about cloud payroll. It's always a pleasure to have you here on the show. So thanks again, Anne.
Thanks, Frank.
And if you'd like to learn more about the UK tax year and 2019-2020 preparation and processing, please visit My Oracle Support, or MOS, is what we call it short, by going to support.oracle.com and search for the following documentation: Information Center for Fusion Human Capital Management, United Kingdom. That's doc ID 209-0342.2. Oracle Fusion HCM UK, Payroll Legislative Updates 2019, and that's DOC ID 248335 5.1. Fusion UK Payroll, Payroll End of Year, Start of Year Checklist, and that is DOC ID 247-8909.1. And Processing Benefits in Kind and P11D Reporting, and that's 239-323-3.1. Another great resource is Oracle Cloud Customer Connect, and you can get there by going to cloudcustomerconnect.oracle.com. Cloud Customer Connect provides a lot of resources, events, forums, and an idea lab for customer suggestions. And with regards to our show today, there are four recordings that we'd like you to check out on Cloud Customer Connect. And they are HCM Cloud Payroll, UK Payroll Legislative Updates. And you can listen to that replay by going to bit.ly/2G(k)P25H. HCM Simplified Maintenance Schedule for HCM Cloud Payroll Customers Worldwide Policy Update. And that's bit.ly/2Capital R Capital V lowercase j lowercase j lowercase t lowercase v. Cloud Payroll, UK Payrolling of Benefits P11D Data Capture. And you can get there by going to bit.ly/2G(k)P(25H)(k)M(l). And HCM Cloud Payroll, UK Payroll Employee P11D Expense and Benefit Statements and Reporting. And that's bit.ly/2Lowercase T, lowercase f, lowercase b, lowercase h, lowercase l, and the number 2. You can also find details about what's new in a release by going to the Oracle Cloud Release Readiness website. And with regards to Cloud Payroll, go to the Workforce Rewards site for Release 19A at the shortened URL bit.ly/2G(m)(n)(u)(g)(g). And there you can review summary descriptions of each new feature, find expanded discussions of new features, including capability overviews, business benefits, setup considerations, and usage tips, as well as readiness training and product documentation. And another great location of information for Oracle Cloud Payroll is the Oracle Help Center. And you can get there by going to docs.oracle.com/en/cloud/SAAS. And once there, click on Global Human Resources under Human Capital Management to reach current release information for the Oracle HCM Cloud Service, including Oracle Cloud Payroll. You can explore the links provided under each category to find detailed documentation, videos, and ebooks to help customers and partners get started with implementation, administration, configuring, securing, integrating, collaborating, and analyzing their Oracle Cloud Payroll service. With regards to our show today, you can find specific information about recording days and units in payroll reports explained, which is a topic in the chapter Calculate, Validate, and Balance Payroll by going to the shortened URL bit.ly/2D(k)D(s)(t)D(z). So please check it out. And finally, if you need information on the UK government annual reporting deadlines, please visit www.gov.uk/payroll-annual-reporting. Please be sure to send us an email if you have any questions about our show today or if you would like to suggest a topic that you'd like us to cover on a future show. We always enjoy hearing your thoughts and feedback, so please drop us a note to hcm-cloud-talk-radio_ww@oracle.com. Thank you for tuning in to our show today to learn about UK tax year-end 2019-2020 preparation and processing. We hope you found the content we provided informative and helpful for your Oracle Cloud Payroll service. I'm Frank Howell, and you've been listening to HCM Cloud Talk Radio. Please join us again soon on another HCM Cloud Talk Radio show. Until then, take care.